Bonhoeffer is very clear in his thinking that the Psalms only find their true meaning in relation to Jesus Christ. And he goes as far as this, to say that trust in God apart from Christ is empty. So one of our great theologians saying this. But is this really the case? And how should Christians, you think, respond to the Psalms?
I think just one word of sort of caution about taking that statement in the obvious sense. And that's really going back to what we were talking about just now. The Psalms are Jewish, and they stay Jewish. And I think we've got to be rather careful about saying, well, they're really ours. But I guess what Bonhoeffer is trying to get at is something like this. For the Christian, specifically for the Christian, there's a long tradition of saying the Psalms are the voice of God in Christ, in us. If Scripture is the voice of God in some sense, well, so are the Psalms. And that puts before you the extraordinary idea that God is shouting out in protest against God, and that connects immediately with Jesus shouting out in protest on the cross. And when St. Augustine wrote about the Psalms in the 4th, 5th century, one of the things he says is that the humanity of Jesus means he takes our voice. He speaks to God in our voice. And sometimes our voice isn't very nice to hear. Sometimes our voice is angry, it's furious, it's abusive, it's lost, it's wretched. And trusting in God, therefore, is not saying, oh, I know God will produce a happy ending. It's more like, well, can you imagine writing down on a piece of paper the worst thing you could think of to say to God in a moment of doubt and misery? The worst thing you could think of. And as it were, handing it to Jesus and saying, read that out. And imagine as it were Jesus turning to the throne of the Father in biblical language and reading out to him, where the hell are you?
And is this one of the reasons why this psalm is particularly associated with Good Friday?
Absolutely, yes. It's one of those psalms in which that voice of complete lostness, complete, you know, lack of happy ending, becomes utterly appropriate in thinking through what's going on in Jesus on Good Friday, that moment where Jesus takes on the voice of the lost and the dying, and as John Calvin said, in some sense, the voice of the damned, you know, people crying out of a sense of being absolutely lost, absolutely forgotten, rejected. And very powerful in the psalm is that language of being forgotten. Not just that God isn't there, but God is there and doesn't care. And you're obliterated. He's forgotten about you.
We began the service with something about the resurrection, and there's an interesting section. For those of you who've got an order of service, there's an interesting section in the psalm, verses 10 to 12, which I think is catching on your cross.
Appropriately.
It's a series of questions about death, essentially. Mm-hmm. And in some sense, is the resurrection almost the answer to these questions that's posed in this psalm?
I don't think the resurrection's an answer to anything. The resurrection happens. You know, it just happens. It doesn't come in to say it was all right, really. As it were, God removes the mask and he's smiling underneath. There's that line in Cooper's hymn, isn't it? Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. And that I found a really scary image, I'm trying to say. It's not that the resurrection comes in to solve it all. It just happens that when all this has been said and done and suffered, he's still there. And maybe the proclamation of the resurrection just has to begin with that very, very quiet, almost silent moment. He's still there. The amazement of that tiny, silent moment. There's a wonderful painting by an early 20th century Russian painter, Ilya Repin, which is meant to represent dawn on Easter Day. In the foreground is this huge wooden cross with the blood still caked on the bottom of it and dogs licking the blood. It's very grotesque. And behind, you see the wall of the city and a small postern gate in the wall. And somebody has lit a tiny little fire inside the gate. And to me, that's just one of the most powerful images of the resurrection I know. It's that little tiny little glow in the dark background that says, still there. And I'm not worried, in a sense, that this psalm ends without going on to the resurrection. Because sometimes we're in such a hurry to get to the happy ending, we don't take seriously enough what's going on in the interim. And we have a whole day between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and quite right too. And so at the end of this psalm, silence falls, and you wait.